Today's guest on Medio Scientific's The Business of Lorwan is Gavin Brown, an industrial designer turned VP of strategic growth and design partner at Rack Wireless. We talk about turning ideas into real deployments, digging into gateways, antennas, RF design, and off-grid LoRaWANs in the wild. This episode is sponsored by the Helium Foundation and is dedicated to spreading knowledge about LoRaWAN. If you'd like to learn more about the publicly available global LoRaWAN they run, visit helium.foundation. Now, let's dig into the conversation with Gavin Brown. Gavin, thanks so much for coming on the show. I'm psyched to have you here.
Thanks, Nick. Yeah, I appreciate the invite.
Yeah, it's super cool. You're working over at Rack, and we talked a little bit about what Rack does. I'd known them initially from my exposure via Helium back in 2020, maybe 2021. But you were saying like, hey, it actually does a lot more than folks think. Can you walk me through maybe the four or five main pillars of what Rack does?
In a nutshell, it's the LoRaWAN hardware stack. I could probably simplify that to a couple of pillars initially. So gateways, the core to the networking business. The sector as a whole, and modules being ready to use stamp modules, some people call them, for end devices, so end device development. So it's both the network side and the node side is probably the key pillars. There's a few more in between that, solutions and products that allow you to implement those things in those two domains more easily, like services and things like that.
I saw something about antenna design, which I didn't know you guys did at all. Is that true?
It's very true, yeah.
Okay.
Something which is very key to success in this domain. That, unfortunately, the laws of physics apply to everything we do, especially radio and wireless. So antenna design is something we do as a service, support our customers, and it's mostly focused towards the node side of customer project.
Got it. What does a typical customer look like? I mean, I know I've bought gateways from you guys and I've bought devices, but what is it? And I'm sure I'm not one dude in San Diego, your typical customer. What does a typical customer look like?
I wish I had a good answer for that. Because of the varied stack we operate along amongst, it's massively varied. But if I could average out, typical customers are looking for the path of least resistance to adopt this technology, because it's key to their business, their solution. A customer would have gaps in their knowledge. They would have, you know, some specific momentum or lack of momentum. And yeah, they would be picking Rack just to sort of ease that journey.
Got it. Okay. So they come to you and say, hey, you guys are experts in this whole LoRaWAN thing. Like, just fix this problem. We have this problem. Just fix it.
Yeah. And it could be, let's say, network side. They say, hey, I want an affordable network solution, gateways. Mm-hmm. And I don't have the deep networking background. I can just about set up the office Wi-Fi. So, okay, no problem. We have something for that. Or we have somebody who wants to develop a very affordable node that can run for years on a battery or some other, you know, energy harvesting solution these days, and make that easy for me. You know, I'm not an RF expert or a deep, you know, embedded guy or girl or whatever. Make that help me. So we've got something to cover that, and we get everything in between and a mixture of both.
Okay. Yeah, there's so many rad Rack products. And you've got this background, was it industrial design? Is what you're into?
Yeah, the core of my background is industrial design. So I was an actual product designer, developer. So I'm a little bit dangerous, and a little knowledge is a dangerous thing, I should say. Yeah, got into hardware design also. But my background is, it was designing physical and digital products at scale, actually in the consumer domain and the professional domains. And I bring that to Rack in part of my role.
Right.
But it gives me a certain perspective that allows me to help Rack as a business, but obviously our customer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you must, because I do this and I have no background in industrial design. Do you ever look at IoT products and go, oh, God, that's a mess. And then think about the development piece.
Well, it's a blessing and a curse because, yeah, every object tells a story for those who can read it. I suppose I can read it. Yeah, so I understand the pain or the challenges that were embraced or not, you know, in something. Yeah, so yeah, I look at things. I don't think, okay, I could have done better. It's like I have great respect for that, the difficulty that would have been traversed to make that happen.
Okay. I'm much more judgy than you are. I'd be like, God, that thing's such a piece of garbage. But it sounds like you're much better about saying, okay, I understand the difficulties in bringing maybe just an idea to market. Can you maybe walk me through that process where someone comes to you with an idea, and then kind of what are the big steps for those of us who don't know about this industrial design and designing for scale? What does that look like?
Maybe just take a quick step back and clarify. So industrial design, the definition varies quite a bit within business circles.
Okay.
I would want to just generalize it right now and say it's kind of a hybrid of art and design and engineering. Mm-hmm. So in Europe, where I'm based, industrial design generally means when an industrial designer would design how the thing looks and how it behaves, what it does, but also they would engineer it. So it's a hybrid role. So yeah, what would the process look like, and embrace that as a skill set, no matter how you chop it up. So if you wanted to chop it up into different pieces, that's fine. The process, so the best process always looks like looking at the problem first, taking a step back, that 30,000 foot view before you get into the 3 foot view.
Yep.
Because a lot of the thinking and the engineering difficulty and challenges are best addressed at the beginning. You embed them into the design strategy before you get deep into the project, because that will be more costly and more painful later. And what does that mean in reality in this domain, Laura Wan? Well, it means, just try to think of some examples, a product is too expensive. It's the supply chain is not sustainable. RF performance is not good enough. Something like that. Those things are very hard to solve later. So the process just is front heavy.
Really focusing on like figuring out what the actual problems are. And then once you have that problem set really well defined, it sounds like then you can, the design part is probably easier.
Yeah. The more you can define in the beginning, the better. Obviously, it's unknown, and the process is iterative by its very nature. And where RAC stands in this process with our customers is to raise the flag for that LoRaWAN piece and the radio piece as early as possible. So obviously, I can speak as a generalist, with an industrial designer hat on, but within the RAC camp, it's like, hey guys, look, at the end of the day, you're doing IoT, large scale IoT. You got to tick these boxes to make that work. We're here to help you. We got a team, and let's work together.
Got it. And are there common mistakes that you see someone coming to you with they're like, hey, I've got this IoT project. I heard about LoRaWAN. You guys are the experts. Like, here, I want this widget to work. Do you see the same mistakes every time? Like, God, you guys never think about what are X, Y, and Z?
That is a good question. And there is one strong answer. Yeah, it's usually the RF piece. It's the wireless antenna integration. We see some kind of jumping over that, not giving it as much detail or thought as it needs to be given. And then it can create some problems. It's not always key to the mission. Sometimes... the dependencies on the wireless performance or whatever, pretty flexible. But yeah, it's usually that's the piece. People just jump over that and just kind of, maybe it's too complex, or they just like, okay, I want to do the bit I understand. This bit's all magic and should happen for me. It is magic, but it has its, realities.
God, it's understood magic. Okay, so it sounds like one of the biggest problems or one of the biggest challenges when a customer comes to you guys and says, hey, I've got this widget and I want you guys to make it LoRaWANized. Is to educate them on like, hey, this is what that means. And this is where we have to insert the RF design piece into this process. And it's probably much further upstream than you might think.
Yes. Yeah, so if I lean back on my other kind of comment about the process, yeah, it's just getting all this thinking as early as possible into the project or the business journey and being flexible. So the education piece, it's just being aware of it. Wireless is a thing to think about. Is key to the success. But we live with this wireless stuff every part of our lives. We're hyper-connected. We talked about it. We have our cell phones and Wi-Fi, whatever. And we all feel the pain when it doesn't work.
Yeah.
There's some glitch, some temporary downtime. I go through a tunnel or whatever, something happens. So these are the realities of all wireless stuff. So the education piece is, that's a thing. You can mitigate against it. If you're smart with your design strategy and implementation, you can have like success like you never dreamed possible. And we've got some really good use cases to demonstrate what we've had with customers.
Tell me about one. What can you give me an example there?
I can give you opposite ends of the spectrum.
Sure.
So, yeah. So we have one customer, very large scale. They deploy nodes in single sites. I can't say too much. It's in this sort of geography spectrum sort of domain. they're deploying 25 to 50,000 nodes in one area.
Holy smokes. Okay.
Yeah. So there's a lot of nodes in one place. It's over like a, I think 15 kilometer by 15 kilometer area. They needed a 2 kilometer range from their node to succeed.
Okay.
They didn't implement it very well. They got like 700 meters, best case, caused them a lot of pain, you know, a lot of pain. So that was kind of one example of the shortcomings of not integrating well. And it was just basic electromechanical design in the utilities space. And they had a node that was underground. Mm-hmm. The antenna was designed in collaboration in collaboration with a manhole cover, you know, like a metal manhole cover.
Yeah.
And so they got the craziest range that I've ever come across, but it's sort of our gateway on the roof of their factory, around 4 stories, kind of mostly line of sight, but a forest and a few towns, but they got 63 kilometers.
Dang. Because they're just using the manhole cover as some kind of antenna extension, something like that.
It's just magic a system. It's like the deployment. It's just respect for the technology and the system and design well. And the other one, which was, I have a node. Here's my node. It's finished. Oh, somebody, I got to put an antenna in. Oh, I have a gap. Put it there. So there's the vast difference in capability. But the commonality there is they're both kind of ground level antennas. You know, so that's the similarity, just so there's a massive difference. So one is very, very good. One is
not very good, yeah.
Borderline, not very good, but my point is borderline acceptable. You know, the requirements of that project were not too much anyway. You know, 1-2 kilometers would be plenty, but they just fell short of that still.
Oh, got it, okay.
So I'm not saying every project needs to be this massive, you know, 50-kilometer, you know, superstar thing. You know?
Right. Yeah, it's a crazy thing. That was one of the very first most attractive pieces of LoRaWAN for me, was just how far it went. And when I got into it, it was through paragliders. And so luckily for paragliders, you're always up high. So the node is always, you know, 5,000 feet in the air. So it's much easier to hit. So the kind of 60K thing wasn't an all the time, but it wasn't unusual. But having got into this kind of ground-based sensor, it's like 60K is pretty unusual.
Very unusual. But we do see some great, great success stories. So I always champion the technology from that point of view. But obviously I have this bias because my role within RAC is 50% commercial, 50% kind of R&D. I still keep hold of my design. I never let that go. So I get to be at the coalface and work with customers and these use cases day in, day out. So that's why I speak so passionately about it, because I get to see all these things and help all these developers.
Yeah, it's like the most fun job ever.
And it's pretty cool. Yeah, I can't complain. I can't complain.
Do you have a favorite product either in the RAC line or maybe in general that you're just like, oh, this is one of my favorite pieces of IoT hardware?
Yeah, a good question. And it's what we would call the WizGate Soho Pro, which is a gateway, a wireless gateway. It comes in a small form factor enclosure. It's around kind of 30 centimeters in length by around 15, and I think that's eight deep. It's an all-in-one box, and all the antennas are built in. It's a tiny form factor with a modular mounting accessories solution. So you can mount it anywhere. It's really convenient, and that's pretty cool because it's kind of a different approach to your classic gateway with all the antennas and cables and stuff everywhere, which is necessary. So that's probably one of my favorites because of its neatness and its elegance and the fact that it can blend in, it can be invisible, you know, in the environment.
Oh, that is interesting. I like the other side because I like the big crazy antennas and the wild wires. Like it made me feel like I did something, but there is an impressive piece to how small and clean and neat you can get some really advanced piece of technology that just does tons and tons of work. It's like, oh, it's just a box on the wall. Like, man, that's not just a box on the wall.
No, you've gone into the kind of, you've got some respect for the challenges there, because inside that product, we've got 2 LoRa antennas, a GPS antenna and a cellular antenna all inside, and Wi-Fi, all in one box about this big, you know, and it has to do its LoRa thing and everything else.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty cool, pretty capable piece of equipment.
That's rad. That's super cool. And then as we wrap this thing up, is there anything coming down the pipe, either for LoRaWAN in general as an industry or for RAC, where you're like, hey, I'm seeing this thing coming and I'm really pumped about it?
Something coming, I was probably the strongest thread there. And it builds upon something we already have. So we're very strong in the off-grid deployment solution. So we have very strong solar off-grid battery solution, which is key to many utility and large-scale deployments around the world. Mm-hmm. You think about water metering, farming, you know, a lot of off-grid stuff. We're strong in that. So more coming in that space. Yeah, so more flexibility, more options. We see a strong demand for off-grid.
Oh, that's rad. It does seem that that's where LoRaWAN is. It's one of the kind of strongest pillars, is this ability to throw it up almost anywhere. And then it sends out this bubble of coverage. And the real hard part is the backhaul back to the internet, but that's getting solved with satellite and everything else. So it's pretty cool to see.
I should maybe extend on that as one thing coming. It is publicized, but in that, as you mentioned, sort of like non-terrestrial backhaul, we actually have a gateway mesh solution, which also helps solve that problem. So we have that, something we developed, and that's a mesh solution within the gateway, where you can have cellular connectivity or traditional backhaul with one or more gateways, because the other gateways serving your LoRaWAN network don't have backhaul. So the mesh can hop between gateways. So that's something we're seeing more and more demand for in the context of this solar deployment. And we have, for example, a good project I'm based in the UK, but in Wales, we have the what they call the valleys. It's in the mountainous region of Wales. There's just no cellular coverage, and non-terrestrial is not quite ready yet. So we have the gateway mesh solution with the solar deployed there. So, you know, that's kind of solving everything very cheaply, you know, very readily.
Yeah. Wales is near and dear to my heart. I went to a climbing camp there when I was a kid, and it just, I'd heard about it. And it's like, oh, you just think of the animal, even though it's not spelled like that. It's like, oh, it must be a boring place. And then you drive through, it's like, this is one of the most beautiful places on earth. This is rad.
Yeah. Well, there's parts of it not very well connected. It's just, that's just the physics of it, you know? So that's why, you know, why LoRaWAN really stands out there. So yeah, there's a couple of things, you know, they work hand in hand. You know, RAC is very modular in terms of its product suite. You know, we're agnostic. You can, you know, you pick as much of it as you want or as little of it as you want of our stack. You know, we've got something for everybody, just tools in the toolbox.
I'm always keeping an eye on what you guys are doing. It's always rad stuff. Gavin, thanks a ton for making the time to come on. I know you're super busy with designing stuff and making sure RAC is going down the right place and having the empathy for product development. So thanks for carving out time from your day.
Thanks for the invite. Yeah, really appreciate it and had fun taking part.
That's it for the show. Thanks so much for listening. If you want to find out more about what I'm doing over at Medio Scientific and use a global LoRaWAN that costs a thousandth of a penny per 24-byte packet on a free trial, head to medioscientific.com. A huge thanks to the sponsor of this show, the Helium Foundation. Please check them out at helium.foundation or look in the show notes for links to their LoRaWAN coverage map. I'm Nick Hawks with Medio Scientific. I'll catch you on the next show.